This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. I'm dancing by myself to that, my favorite, you know, theme music. Just gets me in the mood to talk about gardening. That's what we're here for. Tips, tricks, techniques, questions, anything you want to talk about, I am standing by. Actually, Owen is standing by to take your calls. And I am happy to engage on whatever subjects you'd like to speak about. There's lots going on. This is the big weekend, the one we all, you know, sort of eat our Wheaties for and get ready, lots of good sleep in advance, because this is planting weekend, the magical one that we assume frost is done. Now, honestly, I don't remember the last frost we had here. It's been weeks. So the soil has been warming up. Certainly, I'm living in a very verdant Emerald City kind of a place right now. We've been getting lots of rain, so the everything is just super green, and there's high humidity and more rain in the forecast. So I never complain about rain where I live. I'm in Prince Edward County. We have very dry summers here. So as long as we get lots of moisture in the spring and fall, I don't worry so much. But so we're good. You know, it's still May and things are nice and moist and it's planting weekend. So here are the numbers to call if you are in the local GTA area. Of course, the number is, where'd my numbers go? Oh, right there. Sorry. Right there. 416-360-0740. If you're outside the local GTA calling area, anywhere in Ontario, 866-740-4740. And I'm sure many of you who are consistent listeners know the mantra, which is call early, because, you know, you hate to, you know, come in at the end when the lines are full. So call early, call often. Call as many times as you want, and one question per caller. Love it when first-time callers do give us a ring, because it's always nice to hear new voices, and you get the gift of garden wings if you call in as a first-time caller. So let Owen know, either way, where you're calling from and whether you've called in the past. Now, not only the big weekend for planting, it's also the weekend for a lot of events going on. For example, the Brampton Horticultural Society is holding their annual plant sale today, May 17th. The doors open at 9 a.m., but of course, don't rush. You've got to be stay with me till 10, and the doors will continue to be open until 1 o'clock today at the Brampton Curling Club, 46 McMurtry Avenue. All the plants are locally grown, so there's annuals, perennials, herbs, all kinds of specialty stuff. There's a silent auction, even a garage sale table of garden-related items, and advice from the friendly volunteers. What's been unusual, cash, debit, and credit cards are accepted. A lot of plant sales put on by hort societies, you can only pay by cash. So Brampton is good to go with credit cards, etc. What's next? Next Saturday, another plant sale in Markham this time. The Garden Club there is hosting a rain or shine plant sale at the Markham Village Community Center. It is on the northeast corner in the parking lot at 6041 Highway 7 East in Markham. Again, large variety of perennials grown by the members. Something for everyone, great prices. Oh, in this case, cash or e-transfers are accepted. So yeah, you really never know how you're going to pay when you fall in love with something at a plant sale, but the prices are great. And certainly the advice is, there's lots of great advice because the people who are there have grown these plants themselves. What else? Oh, what else? Next weekend, of course, is Doors Open. Now, Doors Open is across Toronto, as far as I know. So it's a really neat weekend to get into places that you don't normally get into. They're not normally open to the public. Of course, at Zoomer, we celebrate Doors Open by opening up the whole Zoomerplex. So come on down, meet us right there in the studios. Owen will be operating in AM 740, so you can see him, meet him. Dean and I will be there, of course, next weekend as well. Joe will be operating in Classical 96.3. So we've got the two stations side by side. We've got television studios, and we have the Television Museum. So it's very, very cool. 70 Jefferson Avenue in Liberty Village next Saturday and next Sunday. And I think there's even free ice cream, giveaway ice cream. So that makes it kind of fun too. So particularly if it's hot and sunny, come on down. You'll meet all kinds of people that you might have heard on the radio, and you might just want to see what they really look like in real life. I do have one more announcement. It is the Pickering Garden Club. So next Saturday and Sunday, they're hosting a plant sale, lots of different varieties. It's at the Art Fest Esplanade Park behind City Hall in Pickering next Saturday and Sunday. So that's pretty fun. Lots going on. And yeah, I'm happy to share with you what I'm doing in my garden. But in the meantime, before we take any kind of a break, let's go right into speaking with a caller. We've got James giving us a ring from Etobicoke. Good morning, James. I can't hear James. Morning, James.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Never better. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Thank you for calling. What's going on?
Well, I'm thinking fondly of our times together at the Canada Blooms Garden Show.
And yes, I'm glad you think fondly of those days. I remember yelling at everybody.
Well, it was a good experience working with you. Charlie, we've installed a random flagstone patio for a client, and she wanted wide joints between the flagstones. Mm. We're going to be planting Irish moss in some areas, some elfin thyme in other areas, and it's primarily a high sun
traffic
garden.
Oh, sun. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Not necessarily a high traffic area. My question is, do you have experience in doing a mix, a soil mix, a proper soil mix for the joints?
It's an interesting question because, of course, your flagstone has been laid on top of probably a lot of sand and maybe a mixture of some limestone or what's under the flag.
It's primarily 1/8 inch chip.
Graphic.
So it's it's good. Very well drainage.
Yeah. Wow. You know what? As soon as you said, wide joints on a random patio, what I did last year, because I have, it's not really a patio, it's almost kind of a walkway to my my rain barrel, is very wide spaced flag, not laid perfectly, just dropped by me onto soil. And I planted with seeds. I planted creeping thyme. And it came up amazingly well. As a matter of fact, I have to go out there and trim the thyme off of, because it grows right over the stones. So go out and trim it. And the soil, what I did is it was kind of a mixture of peat. Like the seeds were mixed in with the soil. So it was mostly a peat-based mix. So it was a soilless mix with the seeds all mixed in. And I just sprinkled it in between. I roughed up between the stones, sprinkled my seed soil mix on that surface and kept it damp, watered it every day or so. And, and it just came up like crazy. It's been very, very successful.
Wow. That's good to know. The other part of the question is, there's a way of creating moss with it. I think it's some sort of mixture of peat and sand and, yogurt, so on, so
exactly.
Forth. Have you done anything like that before?
I have. You know what? That's so funny that you're bringing that up. Some people love moss, like I'm one of them, and I think you are too. Some people not so much. I know people that are trying to kill moss. Like they're out there scrubbing their stones and taking the moss off everything. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Like it looks so much better. I think, statues or anything, just, it can be slippery. I mean, you got to make sure wherever your moss is, it's not where it's going to be a danger, but it's, when I've done the moss thing, yeah, it's been years since I've done that. It was yogurt based, and it's got to be yogurt with sugar in it. So it can't just be a plain yogurt. It's got to be something with yogurt. And I'm just remembering, I saw something so wacky. It was from West Coast Seeds. You could buy a moss thing, like a way to put moss. I got to find it. It's somewhere. I've just got the catalog in front of me. I'm going to check this out on our break. But yes, moss with yogurt, like a sweet yogurt, just obviously some water, room temperature water, a paintbrush, and you paint it on, really, is all you do, on, and keep whatever you want to get the moss to grow on in a shady or semi-shady location to get it started. Mm-hmm. And then it will take time. It doesn't happen overnight.
Okay, great.
All right. Thanks for calling. Nice to hear your voice, James. And you know what? I was talking to Jonas Spring yesterday, another Canada Blues friend.
Oh, yes. I know Jonas. Yes.
I bet you do. He's pretty busy in the Toronto plant market. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Nice to hear your voice. And thanks so much for the information. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And have a great spring. I hope you're keeping real busy. All right, we do have to take a quick break to listen to some of our important sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, I had a minute there to look something up. James, if you're still listening and if other people are interested in growing moss, West Coast Seeds sells a product. It's called growable moss for the shade. So it's a 16-ounce package. It'll cost you $42.99. Get it sent, mix it with water. And then what it says, I know this is lovely, it's a great picture actually, is that you take this this paste. So you've mixed the contents of the package with a couple of cups of water, let it stand for 10 minutes. You get this green paste, and then you spread this gel-like paste over pre-moistened surfaces. So it could be bare soil, it could be stone, it could be wood or weathered concrete. Even vertical surfaces, this works. So each small moss fragment will grow into a new moss plant, which then grows together over time to form a dense green blanket. They say it's got an indefinite shelf life, which is kind of interesting. Covers up to 15 square feet of surface, this one package. All you need is shade, moisture, and patience. So there you go. That's a pretty fun idea. For those of you who love moss, like me, I love moss, but that's, you know, not everywhere, just where it's appropriate. All right, back to the phone lines, Owen. We've got Gloria standing by. Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning, Charlie. I don't know if you remember I called you up about my lilac tree that was stripped by squirrels.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyhow, my tree has got beautiful lilacs. It's living. Oh, I am so happy. I thought I'd mention that. But I have a question for you. My sister was given tulip mm-hmm. bulbs that have already bloomed. I guess they were forced mm-hmm. at some place where she went. They handed them out, and they're absolutely beautiful, she said. And they cut the flowers off and just handed these bulbs out to people that wanted them. And my mm-hmm. sister is going to bring them up to my house. Do I plant these now? Will I get tulips, or do I have to store them?
Okay, so that's a really good question. What happens with a lot of times when we have access to bulbs that have already bloomed, it's often the municipalities. They will grow beautiful, you know, bulb gardens in various communities, but then they don't leave those. See, at home, I let my tulips die down. They aren't very pretty as they're going down, but I let them, you know, I remove the spent flowers, but I let the leaves slowly turn yellow and disappear down underground and go dormant until next year. Municipalities don't have the patience I have, so they just dig them all up. So mm-hmm. what you'd be looking at is a, you know, a nice fat little bulb, probably with some green leaves attached. So what we usually do with that is I would just lay them on newspaper or a tarpaulin or something, depends how many you're going to end up with, preferably in a shady location, but not where rain will get on them, mm-hmm. and let them just naturally go completely dormant. They will. It'll take a week or two for those green leaves to turn yellow, even above ground, like you're going to have them. And once they're completely dormant, then store them someplace dark, preferably someplace cool, for till the end of the summer. And then in September, plant them anywhere you want in your garden to come up next spring.
I see. What if they don't have any green leaves on them? I haven't seen them yet.
Okay, I'd be surprised if they don't have any green leaves. I'd still let them stay out and naked, if you will.
Okay.
Leaves might grow if they haven't already, or if they were cut off, then you still need to get... You have to allow those little bulbs to shut down and go dormant. Okay. They are probably full of all kinds of vigor right now because they still want to grow. So if somebody has cut the leaves off, then they may still pop some out. So let them just do their natural thing. You'll be able to tell they're dormant because they'll have they'll form what's called a tunic, which is a little brown jacket, a little skin on the bulb. Uh-huh. When they come up out of the ground, they'll be white. And what you want is for them to be fast asleep, and they will form that little brown coating on themselves as they go dormant, as a little blanket to snuggle uh-huh. down under. And so let that happen before you put them into the dark and into a spot for storage.
And then I can plant them in the fall. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's what I'll do. I'll just leave them out. Now, it is going to rain, so can I
leave them in my garage?
Can I put them in my garage to dry
them? Sure. Exactly. That's exactly. A porch, a garage, somewhere where they are, you know, out in ambient temperature, not uh-huh. getting rained on.
Great. Thank you so
Wonderful.
Much, Charlie.
Thanks for calling. That's a great question. I like that. Tulips that you're inheriting, right? And it'd be interesting to see how pretty they are, you know, what colors they come up and that sort of thing. Because you don't know. They're going to be mystery bulbs. I had a few mystery things happen in my garden this year because I had some chipmunks doing some redesigning for me last summer, spring and summer. They just kind of went to town on moving tulips around and, a few came up on the lawn and some have come up in gardens where I've never planted a tulip ever. And it's been an interesting year to see where things are. But now I can see where things are. I'm readjusting so they'll be back where they're supposed to be next year. All right. Quick reminder to everybody what the phone numbers are. And we will then have to go to... I don't want to say have to, we'll happily go to one of our breaks and be back after this. But just to remind you, local number 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. Back right after this.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
So Owen wanted me to remind you to remember that if you're driving, this is a weekend where not everybody stays home to garden. Some people actually go up to cottage country to open the cottage or maybe do some gardening up there. Remember, you can continue to listen to this show in your car right all the way up to Owen Sound because we have 92.3 FM Zoomer Radio in Owen Sound and we are beaming bright and clear to all the people up in that area, the Bruce Peninsula area. So one of my favorite parts of Ontario. So just remember, you don't have to only listen on the web. You can actually listen on the radio. So thank you for that, Owen. Let's go to our next caller. We have Gabrielle on the line. Good morning, Gabrielle.
Yes, good morning, Charlie. I really miss Canada Blooms. I really enjoyed going there. Anyway, I have more than one question, but I'm allowed one for
That's
this
right.
call. Now, I have a very unusual front yard, and it's awkward because I had it excavated so I could have my false weeping cypress trees. Mm-hmm. And they've grown and grown and grown. Now, my question is, should I leave the leaves that protect them? Because I'm afraid of hurting their root system. I bought a tarp from Sheridan Nurseries on Young. And The thing is, over the years, the roots have gone, like, they're gone all over, you know. So I hardly have any plants in the front garden. Mm. And I was very careful because I did plant some tulips, so they survived because usually the squirrels are taking them away or the raccoons or whatever. And
no kidding.
I wanted to know, what would you recommend? It's on the south exposure, so I get lots of sun. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard for me to even water them.
Mm.
Because it's,
okay,
you know, right? Well, I mean, it's, you know, like, I needed front yard parking, so I had 4.5 feet of soil excavated. And then I did a retaining wall.
Right.
And the thing is, a lot of the plants, can I tell you about the invasion of the lilies of the valley from
You don't need to. I know exactly.
I have everything prepared because other times I've called and then I forget to tell you stuff.
That's fine. No. Okay, so how many trees are there? How many fall cypress?
Two.
And on top of that,
in front of them, I planted dwarf Colorado spruce. So that's another thing is you say to trim it down before they get the new growth. And I wasn't sure what angle to cut them at.
Okay, so do you have like an estate lot there in Toronto? How big is your lot?
Are you kidding? 25 by 1432. And I have a mutual drive. It's vicinity of Eglinton and Avenue Road.
Okay.
It's what I could afford to buy once upon a time. You know?
Yeah, not anymore. So listen, you have too many trees in too small a space. The fall cypress.
I'm not cutting them down or anything.
No, I get that. So, I mean,
I really enjoy them.
For sure. And of course, I bet the birds love them. They're beautiful shelter for wildlife and probably lovely privacy in the front of your home.
I have even a lantern installed for safety because they got to be so
dark.
But
right.
I'm worried about digging out. I don't want to disturb their roots. That's part of my problem.
All right. So here's the answer to the question. So I'll just get right to that.
Right.
Yes, you can. If you want to plant, you have space to plant around these plants, then yes, you're going to have to rough the soil. You're going to have to add some fresh triple mix, but you're going to rake out, you know, you can rake out easily the top inch of last year's needles that have fallen.
Okay, let me write this down. Hold on. I can rake it out. Yeah, I can do that. Rake it out.
Yeah. Rake it out. Add triple mix, 1 inch of triple mix, which
hang
will
on, I got to write that down to triple mix. Yeah, triple mix, triple
and,
mix.
And then the other thing, of course, Gabrielle, would be to get to.
Can I put the tarp and then put the mulch?
Don't do any tarps. Leave the tarp out of it. The tarp isn't going to help at all. That's just going to stop water from getting to your trees, and the squirrels are going to move it around. I would just keep
it simply.
I got
to write that down to water. No tarp. Okay. I'm writing it down.
Okay. And so what I would do is get some fresh soil, plant anything that you can that stays tiny. We were talking, you know, with James
I don't want to really plant anything because I have some plants there.
You're pretty tight
like,
in there.
You know, and what is it? The heather, Haida, you know, I have one plant there and I'm keeping my tulips, but I want to keep it because the branches are more than 7 feet long. That's how huge these trees are. I mean, unbelievable.
And it's so much fun for me to
water the garden.
Yes. And Gabrielle, they're just going to get bigger. That's the thing. They're going to get wider and taller. And of course, so is the spruce. Everything's just going to get bigger. So if you've got issues watering and getting in there, even doing any work in there, you will at some point want to hire preferably a certified arborist who will come
and
do some trimming.
Who do you recommend?
Oh gosh, where you are in Toronto, there's lots and lots. Shady Lane comes to mind.
Hang on, I've got to write it down. Shady Lane.
Yep, that's just okay. One. There's lots. There's lots.
Okay, Arborist.
Yeah, okay, thank good. You. Thanks for calling, Gabrielle. Appreciate
I'll call
calling.
Another time
sounds like
another
quite
problem.
The front yard. Wow, all right. Boy, Gabrielle had a lot to say there, but I hope she got it all written down. And just a reminder, if everything's happening too fast, too much information is going on, then you can always re-listen to this show. It is podcast. It is podcast on all your favorite apps. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We're also right here at AM 740 under podcasts. So The Garden Show can be listened and re-listened to usually by Tuesday, Wednesday of the same week that we are broadcasting live. Okay, there we are. We will now stay in Toronto and see what's going on with Margaret. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent.
I have a question. I want to attract more hummingbirds into my backyard. Mm-hmm. What annual can I put in a hanging basket, like make hanging baskets, to attract more hummingbirds?
All right. So what's the favorite color of hummingbirds?
Red.
Red. Red and orange and fuchsia pink. They don't really differentiate on all those shades. So if it's a hanging basket, and are we talking a sunny location?
Yes.
You know, there's an annual plant called Million Bells.
Million Bells.
Million Bells. It looks like little miniature petunias, but it grows on a cascading plant. The proper name is Calibrachoa. It comes in all colors. And what I would do, I get a lot of hummingbirds coming to salvia in my garden, which is not a hanging plant. That is an annual standing up plant with red flowers and also pinks and whites, et cetera. So they're very, very attracted to the salvia. And but for a hanging basket, I'd be looking for even cascading petunias, but just work with those colors, the bright pinks or oranges or reds, mix in white to make it prettier for you. But you will find that the hummingbirds will be very attracted to it. I love hummingbirds. I do the same thing. I think about what I'm planting.
We have a really bad connection. I can hardly hear you.
Oh, okay. So you know what? Hang up. I'd say hang up and then listen in.
Oh, okay then. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. Yeah, if she hangs up and then turns her radio back up, then she should be able to hear what's...
Okay, then, thank you.
Very welcome. Thank you for calling. Yep, reds, oranges, pinks for the hummingbirds, preferably tubular-shaped flowers. Avoid trumpet vine if you can. That is a very invasive plant. But you know what's really nice? Our honeysuckle. Honeysuckles are, trumpet-shaped flowers. And also by scarlet runner beans. Anyway, there you are. There's a few things that will give you those colors and happy hummingbirds and will grow quickly as well. Honeysuckle is not an annual, but of course, scarlet runner beans are. Excellent. Let's see. We got Madeline on the line calling from Richmond Hill. Good morning, Madeline.
Hi, Charlie. Thank you for taking my call. I've been curious about something, and I just got around calling you. I have two lilac trees that I had planted about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. This year, I'm noticing not a single flower on it, and I don't know why. And both of them don't have any flowers.
Okay. Did they flower last year?
Yeah, they did.
Okay. And did somebody do some pruning on them last fall?
I did a little bit, yeah, because I don't want the tree to get too high.
Okay. So when you prune a lilac in the fall or late summer, you are pruning off the flower buds that would be flowering this spring. So here's the rule. Everybody get out your pens and papers, write this down. The rule is, if you are going to do some trimming, and there's a very good reason to do trimming on plants. They often will get much bigger than we want them to. All the trimming should take place right after they flower. So if it's a lilac, that means that we're doing our trimming in late spring, because of course we have our flowers in mid-spring. If it's hydrangeas, again, it's after they flower, we trim them down. Now, frankly, in the case of hydrangeas, that we can trim in the fall or the spring. Spirea, forsythia, magnolia, anything that's going to bloom and has a blooming season, your trimming time is after the blooms are finished.
I didn't do that last year. I did it several, you know, months later. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so no worries. So the lilacs are probably fine. They may even, you know, form a few little flowers this spring, but don't panic. Everything, do take a look, you know, not particularly today, but in about 3 weeks, take a look and make sure you like the size of the plants. You know they're going to grow another 6 inches or more this year. So you don't want to be in a position where you have to trim them again in August or September. Do your trimming in a month if you're going to do any trimming at all, whether they flower or not, right?
Right. But what are the possibilities that next year it may be healthier and then give me some flowers?
Oh, it's perfectly fine. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, there's nothing wrong. It's just that the flower buds have been removed, so you won't see flowers. You'll see lots of flowers next year if you don't trim in the fall.
Got it. Okay. And, this year there's nothing to trim anyway, so because there's
But remember, they're going to grow. So you've got to envision, looking at the plants right now, they're going to get bigger this summer. So if you're happy with the size they're going to be with no trimming at all until a year from now, then don't do any trimming. But if you can see that,
I'll leave it alone.
Leave it alone and then
let
wait till they flower.
Let it grow taller, not a big deal.
Okay. And
I live
next
by
year.
I the ravine, so lots of space.
Good. Good stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Main thing is let them grow next year after they flower. If you need to trim, do it then.
Do it then. Yeah. Yeah. Because it makes sense. I mean, you know, if something is dead, just cut it and get rid of it after the flowers.
Yeah. That is true.
That is
a good point. Thank you very much for calling, Madeline.
Thank you very much for helping me with this question.
My pleasure.
Wish you a happy day.
Thank you. And you too. Have a great weekend. That brings me to a thought that Madeline made me think of, which is when we're pruning, and of course, the point just there was how important it is to do whatever pruning you're going to do after a plant flowers. So shrubs, trees. Evergreens are different, of course. They don't have flowers. But removing dead, diseased, or damaged wood can happen any time of year on your plants. I've been to a couple of people's homes lately where Japanese maples survived the winter but have quite a bit of dead on them, dead wood. Tips that are gray and crispy versus shiny with nice, beautiful leaves coming out. So trim the dead, the diseased, or the damaged at any time of year at your convenience on a sunny day, sunny, dry day. However, when we're doing pruning because a plant is too big, overgrown, out of control, just is not aesthetically pleasing, let's do that at the right time of year. That is not just something we get out our chainsaw at our convenience. We do that based on the plant's biological cycles. Make sense? I think so. We are so close to another break. Owen, what do you think? Should we maybe go for a break now and come back after this important message from our sponsors?
Why not? We're taking it nice and easy today, aren't we?
There we go. Thank you, Owen. We'll be back right after this.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
That's right, and we are talking all things gardening. We just got questions from all over the place. Really an interesting show. We've been talking about birds and overgrown, you know, plants and tulips that are arriving in bags after they flowered. And I'd like to hear from you as well. What kind of wacky things are going on in your yard or your garden, or, you know, something you'd like to share with us, the local number 416-360-0740 or outside of the GTA 866-740-4740. And we have Martha on the line. Good morning, Martha.
Well, good morning. Nice to hear your show. And I recently fell in love with the, I'm told it's the French flowering lavender plant. Uh-huh. Are you you know what I'm talking about?
Well, there's one called Provence. There's lots of different lavenders.
Okay, this is new to me because the others that I've planted do not bloom, but these are the gorgeous blooms. It's about 2 feet tall in a pot, and I gave some as gifts. Now I need, it came with no instructions, so I would be grateful for your help in knowing, does it require full sun? What does it require?
Oh, nice, very nice planting. Gift. Is it blooming? Was it blooming now? Like you bought it recently and gave it as gifts now, and about 2 feet tall. So I wonder, so they referred to it as a French. I always think of it, it is European for sure. All the lavenders originally are from Europe. So here in Ontario, if we want our lavender to survive over the winter, which is can be a little tricky because lavender is borderline hardy here in Ontario, we tend towards varieties that are on the hardier end of the spectrum, and they are not blooming now. They will bloom in midsummer, late July kind of timing. And they're beautiful, and then you know we enjoy them, and we trim them in the fall and pray that they survive the winter. If you're finding blooming lavender now, I believe it's an annual lavender. It is annual because it is less hardy than the others. It will not survive the winter. It is, I think, originally from Spain, comes with a whole bunch of different names. One came up on my computer here called Scentsational Lavender. Very, very pretty plant. But all lavenders want full sun. Bottom line is it's a full sun situation. So now out on a deck, like somewhere where you're really, make it a showpiece. Whoever you've given these to, tell them to probably move them into a bigger container. They're not going to survive the winter. So make it something that's gorgeous. On the deck, on the patio.
The duration of the summer, are we feeding it?
Yep, you're going to enjoy it all summer. It hopefully will bloom all summer.
No, I want to know, are we going to feed it?
Sure, why not? The annuals always bloom even more if we fertilize. So your Miracle-Gro, any all-purpose fertilizer, once a month.
So normally, just treat it as an annual.
Exactly, just like you would treat a geranium.
Okay,
but I would get it into bigger.
I plan to use it instead of a spike because I thought it was beautiful as a center.
Sweet, and, perfect, great idea.
The colors are amazing. And as I said, giving it away was delightful, but now I these people want to know what to do. So.
But I think your idea of putting it as in place of a spike, because that's the when we design our own container gardens. It's a miniature garden in a pot. And of course we want that, what we call the thriller, which is, you know, the main plant surrounded by fillers and spillers. So your lavender in the center, and then around that, depending on the size of your pot, something that's going to really be a showpiece, make the lavender the main.
Okay.
Great idea.
Wonderful.
Love it, Martha.
Thank you. Thank you for doing the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay.
I enjoy it.
Now.
Bye-bye. I actually really do quite enjoy doing this show. It's fun. It's fun. Garden communication, so to speak. So we have a few short minutes before our next break. The numbers one more time. Otherwise, you're just going to have to listen to me. 416-360-0740 or outside the GTA, anywhere in Ontario, 866-740-4740. Gabrielle is back on the line doing the mantra perfectly. Thank you, Gabrielle, for calling back. We have 3 minutes for you to share what's going on besides what you shared earlier about your overgrown fall cypress trees.
Now, I have an invasion of the lily of the valley from my neighbor's garden.
Mm.
Do I use Roundup?
You might have to.
Well, the thing is, I don't want to hurt her feelings. And like they're going all, they're more than 30 feet all the way down to the cypresses, you know, the trees and everything. I tried digging them out over the years, but it's hard because it's a slight hill.
Right.
And I don't want to go falling because when I fall, I break another hand.
Right. You don't want to do that. No, it's true.
No, I don't.
So technically it's illegal to use Roundup to kill Lily of the Valley. It is only legal to use Roundup on poisonous, toxic plants like poison ivy or giant hogweed or something like that. So technically, I can't recommend Roundup. What you might want to use, which would be more legal, they're just going to start flowering. So personally, I would let the Lily of the Valley do their flower thing and pick a bunch and take them in the house. They smell so great and they make beautiful little bouquets. Then get a hold of a vinegar-based herbicide. I'll have to look up a name of one.
Vinegar-based, I've got to write it down. Vinegar-based herbicide?
Yeah, weed killer. So it's got vinegar in it. And you're going to listen. Once we hang up, you're going to listen, and I'm going to give you some names that you can buy, name brands. I think, they're used, these vinegar or lemon juice, it's basically acetic acid sprays are used to kill little things that are coming up in our walkways between our paving stones.
Yeah, that's what I have my other thing, but we don't want to sidetrack now. But that's my other problem, because I have pavers.
It's all the same stuff. It's all the same stuff. So you know what? Why don't you and I hang up right now, and we will be going off to our final break. And while that's happening, I will come up with some names. When I come back after the break, you'll be ready to write down what I announce. All right? Thanks, Gabrielle. Thanks for calling back. That's lovely. I love it when people follow the mantra. Call early, call often. One question per caller. All right. Back right after this.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, when we last spoke a few minutes ago, Gabrielle was asking about killing highly invasive Lily of the Valley. And I could tell that she was then going to roll into, what about all the weeds that are coming up, along my walkway, between my paving stones, sidewalks, all that. That's places where we don't want stuff to grow. When these weeds are small, early in the season, like now, you can pull them. If you've got way too many and you're just overwhelmed by just too much weeding, again, when the plants are young and small is the best time to kill them. And the way you're going to kill them legally is to use a vinegar-based herbicide. You can just buy industrial vinegar. Apparently, it looks like Home Depot sells industrial vinegar to be mixed up with water and spray carefully. Because remember, whatever you spray the green part of a plant, it will die. And you don't want to spray plants that you love. You only want to spray the plants you don't love. You can also buy, an actual herbicide. I see that Scotts makes one under the EcoSense label. It's called Weed Be Gone Max. So Weed Be Gone by Scotts, Safers makes something, Top Gun, Wilson makes something called Wipeout. These are all herbicides with vinegar in them for killing pesky weeds that there's just too many, or they're too invasive, or they're rooted too deep for us to be able to get them out. So that's when we use these herbicides. So don't think about Roundup, because even though Roundup will work, it is not legal to use, and the vinegar is very effective, particularly on a sunny day. And of course, not when it's raining, because nothing works in the rain. All right, let's see what's going on in Mississauga. Oh no, we're going to go to, I can't see it, Newmarket. Joanne's on the line. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning. I was just wondering, I have a hedge of boxwoods, and unfortunately, I've got these moths that are eating it away. Is there anything I can do?
Oh boy. So Right now, today, because it is raining, but as soon as this rain sort of blows through, you, if you want to try and save the boxwoods, we'll use a product called BT. So B as in Bob, T as in Tom, BTK, and you will follow the instructions and you will spray your boxwoods and you will continue to stay on top of this, because this is an insect that is not going away. It is highly, it's an alien, what we call it, an alien pest that has no natural predators. And all we can do is control this insect with BTK. BT is a bacteria that you spray on the leaves of the boxwood. The little tiny caterpillars eat the leaves and eat the bacteria that's on the leaves, and they die. But this will not, this will be an ongoing battle for you for the rest of your boxwood life, as far as I know. The only other option is replace.
I see. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, sorry about that. Yeah, and replace was not boxwood, obviously. But yes, then there's great information on the web. LandscapeOntario.com has a really great article on the boxwood tree moth. It's a horrible, horrible insect wiping out boxwood all over Southern Ontario as we speak. All right, we do have also calling from Mississauga, Diana. Good morning, Diana.
Hi, Charlie. How are you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Good, good. I'm so glad you keep this show up, because you're my savior every week.
Thank you.
So I have a rather unique question here. I have some plumeria, which I got years and years ago, that I grow in pots. And they do fill up the pot with the roots, but that's what makes them flower, and they have those gorgeous, very scented flowers, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering now, some of them are getting a little bit large, and I don't want to really necessarily transplant it into another pot. I'm wondering if you've ever had any experience with these plants that you could cut the roots without causing it to die.
As far as I know, I haven't had a lot of experience with this plant at all. But I believe that that's how they're propagated, is that the roots are cut. Like when you bought those plumeria, did you not buy like dormant roots?
No, it was a stick, basically.
Yeah, that's basically, so that's exactly right. So that is how the propagation is done, is when the plant is dormant, the plant is chopped up into bits. So if you're finding that it's overgrowing the pot that it's in, then yes, you're going to want to propagate, and you're going to propagate by, I'm just looking this up very quickly, but I'm sure the time to do the propagation is when it's dormant. So they're going to bloom all summer at your place, obviously. And what do you do with them in the winter?
I bring them in. But I have propagated them from the stems of the actual plant. I've done that, but I haven't propagated anything from the roots per se.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know, it's like the original stem I got was just a stem with no roots, and then you stick it in the soil and it grows the roots, and it takes like 2 years to grow, and then another year before it blooms. So it's a labor of love, this plant.
No kidding. Yeah, exactly. I'm just double. So yeah, propagating from stem. Okay. So, so stem cuttings is the normal repotting and potting, overwintering. If it's visibly outgrown its pot, like it's only needed every few years to be repotted, it benefits from the addition of fresh growing medium. Carefully remove top few inches of soil, replace with nutrient rich compost. So you said you don't want to go to a bigger pot, is the bottom line. You like the pot it's in now.
They're getting too big. I can't carry them inside anymore.
Right. At some point that does happen, right? The plant is too big. We can't, got to raise the roof kind of thing. I have, and I'm not positive, but here's my suggestion. Not now, because it's blooming like crazy, but maybe at the end of the season or early next spring, take the plant out of the pot and shave the roots. So you shrink the root ball. You have fresh soil standing by. You go back, you wash the pot, go back into that same pot with fresh soil all around. But what you've done is shrunk the root ball in, and that way you also will dwarf the above ground growth to some extent. But that can be done. And that would be my recommendation if it's just too big and you just don't want to get a bigger pot. And we are out of racetrack. So I'm thanking you very much, Diana, for your call. And good luck with that.
Have a lovely weekend. Enjoy your long weekend.
Yes, you too. It is going to be a lovely weekend. Lots to do in the garden, no question. Anybody out there growing plumeria wants to send tips on what they've done, let me know, because that's not one I have a lot of experience with, to be absolutely honest. Thank you, Owen. Couldn't do any of this without you. And thanks to all our really interesting callers. It's been a fun show. See you again.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio. The new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.